Let's open our Bibles quickly to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Good morning, everybody. Can you greet somebody on your left and your right? Tell the person, good morning. Tell the person, God bless you. Ask the person, are you and your wife wearing the same color? I'm talking about you. Don't deflect. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bible. Okay, like I said, Colossians chapter 1. Again, we are going to declare the glory of the Lord this morning. Don't ever forget. Do it. This is not only when you come for meetings here. Make it a habit in your life, in your home. Just rise in the morning and declare the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we are going to read from verse 12 and read all the way to verse 20. I believe many of us should know it by heart by now. All right, are we set? This is when we were in secondary school and NYSC. They taught us something, which is that once the national anthem is going on, you don't move. Do you remember? So this is the heavenly anthem. The will of God is that all of us are going to raise our voices to declare the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, we use the same version of the scriptures. Are you there? Let's start from verse 12. 1 to let's go then. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Once again, we praise the Father and we kiss the Son. Yes, we kiss the Son. With us, he's not angry, and we will not perish out of the way. We are blessed in him. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I said we are blessed in him.
Amen.
We have come today before his throne. We have come to receive insight,
amen,
to receive understanding,
amen,
to receive an infusion of his spirit.
Amen.
We know he has granted it to us.
Amen.
Therefore, we declare,
amen,
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats quickly. This morning, I'm trying to, I've not concluded which, I think I just did. All right? That's a portion of the scriptures to use to start teaching this morning. I just did, all right? Okay, now what I want to talk about this morning is what I've called the defense in precepts. The defense in precepts. I pray I can do it, all right? The defense in what? Precepts. Okay? Now let's start from the book of Isaiah chapter 56. The book of Isaiah chapter 56. I'm going to read the first few verses. I think I should read from verse 1. We'll stop reading verse 7. All right. Isaiah chapter 56. It said, thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, that is, who preserves justice and righteousness, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. The Lord said, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than those of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Also, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. Now please, that's verse 7, and I said I'll stop reading the 7th verse. Now, what do I want to teach this morning? The Lord helping me. Like I said, it's about precepts, and that the precepts of God defend. They defend. The Bible says that righteousness delivers from death. Now, bear that in mind. It says righteousness delivers from death. Now, what I'm going to teach, of course, is nothing new. I'm not trying to teach something that is new. It's something I believe that many of us know. I just want to put the thoughts together, all right? And then lay proper emphasis where it belongs. Let me start by reminding us that the Word of God has different aspects. If you take the whole counsel of God, you can break it more like into about 5 different aspects. 4 major ones, but the 5th one, which we have been studying on Fridays in our discussions. And that's ordinances. But there are 4 other ones. Number 1 is promises. The Word of God has promises. Now, that's the one that attracts people. When people go to church, that most times that is what they want to hear, the promises of God. And indeed, the Word of God has promises. Next part of it is what is called precepts or principles. Now, that is what the Bible actually calls, well, not actually. It's one of the things the Bible calls righteousness. Righteousness, that is like, he that doeth righteously. When you obey the precepts, you are said to be doing righteously. That is your, what are precepts? The principles, the rules and regulations by which you control your life and your activities. That's what precepts are, okay? The rules and regulations, the principles by which you control your actions, your activities in life. That's what they call precepts. Now, that is a huge part of God's word. Now, let me not try and rate them in importance, but I dare to say it's probably more important than the promises, even though everything is the word of God and they're all important. Okay? Now, unfortunately, people don't lay as much emphasis on the precepts as they lay on knowing the promises. Now, you should know the promises. It's very important. But if you know the promises, you don't know the precepts, you'll be frustrated. You will be frustrated. If you know the precepts and you don't know the promises, you may miss some things, but life will not be frustrating for you. And you will get a lot of things you did not even pray for. And so Jesus said it like this, seek first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness. So that's what he said, his righteousness. What is God's order? Do you understand? That's the right way of doing things. So when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, just to know what is the right way that God says things should be done. If you know that, Jesus said many. In fact, did he say many? What did he say? All. All other things will be what? Added. So, people, now, in the context in which he was speaking, he was talking about money, wealth, shelter, because don't worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, with what we will clothe ourselves. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And other things will be what? Added. That is why I said what I said, that I believe that knowing the precepts is probably more important than knowing the promises. Even though knowing the promises is very important also, the knowledge of the promises. So that is the first, that is the second. First is promises, 2 precepts. Third is like, is a, let me say, a simplified form of precepts. That's commandments. It's a simplified form. That is, I just break it into simple rules and regulations. And sometimes when you don't know certain precepts, God gives straightforward commandments. You may not even understand why. Just do it the way because he said so. And that is why you raise children with commandments, not with the knowledge of precepts. You tell them, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that. Okay? Now, the reason is that sometimes they're not old enough to understand. So Jesus will say, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. So that's the way life is. Even children also, as they are growing, there are things you'd have loved to explain, but they can't understand. So just tell them, okay, just do this. But those who understand precepts, sometimes they can rewrite commandments, rearrange commandments, and they are not breaking the law of God. Not because they want to disobey the commandments, but they know why it is there. They know what it was supposed to achieve. So Jesus will tell you that, listen, the man was not made for Sabbath. Sabbath was made for man. So even though, you know, Moses, you have to understand, Moses, everything you saw in your scripture, you see in your scriptures, is all that Moses wrote. So people kept on writing commentaries afterwards. Why? Trying to explain. So there will be times in which, okay, this bread, only the priest can eat it. Then Moses, David shows up. Who will override that? You're not the priest, you're hungry. You are on the errand of God, or whatever, or the king. You need to eat. So the priest looks and says, okay, how's the spiritual state of your men? Okay, then let them eat the bread. So Jesus will tell you, listen, the law of the Sabbath was made to be a blessing to man. So there are people that have a certain level of understanding. They say, but God said, like, say, don't worry, do that. Now, I'm not saying you are disobeying God. But when he said this was what he meant. But he brought the rule down to make it easy for everyone to understand. We have understood the rule. One of the things I teach my children, okay, we had that discussion yesterday in the house. I said, anytime there's a commandment, learn the principle behind it. As you grow, you use commandments to decode the mind of God. You get my point? Yeah. And that's one reason why you can write more commandments if you know precepts. You can write commandments for yourself even though God didn't write them. So I take commandments. You know, it's an example I used to teach a lot. That one day I was reading my Bible that it said that you shall not curse the deaf. It didn't say you shall not do waka to the blind. No, they don't do waka. All right, if you're not in Nigeria, please, God will help you understand. All right, let's just leave it like that. Basically, you can't curse the deaf, God says, because you realize he can't hear you. So you'll be saying things that are bad to him. There's a way you can also do that to somebody who can't see you. Even though the Bible didn't say, you shall not do anything to the blind. But he gave one commandment. You shall not curse the deaf. Now from there, we understand. It's not about deafness. It's about disability. It's about taking advantage. So you now write rules that says, you shall not do waka to the blind. Now, he didn't write that. But you, from the precepts, from the commandment, you understood a precept. That you expand it to other areas of life that he actually didn't say anything specifically. Now, just by the way, that's why we go to elders for counseling. That's why you don't go to your juniors for counseling. They know less precepts than you know. They can't draw, you know, your situation. They don't know how to pull precepts out of commandments to help you solve a problem. Because, you see, you have to understand, the word of God is living. When I say living now, it means that it has rules concerning coding, computer programming, yet Moses never saw a computer. But the living word, when the computer age comes, if God gives commandments now, he will tell you laws on hacking, laws on copying software, using API codes, all kinds of things. He will give you rules about them. Now, the precepts he will use, they are all in the laws of Moses. They are all in the prophets. They are all in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are all in the epistles of, you know, Paul, of Peter, of James, of John, Jude. They are all there. So Christians can get up and write rules for Christian coders. And it will come out from the Bible. Now, when you use some of these precepts to personalize issues about your life, they are called testimonies. You work with God so much, there are things that it's okay for everybody, but for you it's not okay. Sometimes people want to make them laws for everybody else. No, don't bother. It's the reason why those days some churches will tell you can't watch television. People will say, look, you can't use jewelry. Why? Because Israelites sinned and God collected their jewelry. I said, do you read your Bible well? He gave them more later. Are you planning to worship your own? No. So why do you not say that in our church, women don't wear earrings? Now what I'm about to say next is not scripture. It's my opinion, derived from scripture. I don't see why you shouldn't wear earrings. Now that's what I think. I think you should wear earrings for a woman. She wear nose ring. What's it? Bracelet. That is issue. Now you add that one, man. I didn't put makeup for. I'm talking about jewelry. I see nothing wrong with jewelry, personally. Just use sense to wear it. So if you don't have sense, that's lack of sense is your issue. It's not the jewelry. Now, so this is my opinion. You know what I say? It's my opinion. I'll give you another opinion. I don't see why men wear earrings. In our culture of today, I personally think, now this is personal, you can get angry with me, it's your problem. Alright? You don't understand what I'm saying. I say I personally think it's off for a man to wear earrings. That's what I think. There's no verse of scripture. Because in the Bible, you have to be a slave. Okay, now, that's what I think. Now, there are precepts behind them. But where I'm just going is that sometimes, you know, if I can say my opinion. I'll give another one. I think something's wrong with you if you wear ripped jeans. Torn clothes. I'll give you what one man of God said, all right? And he wasn't giving precepts. He said, now, I can't remember his exact words. But essentially, you know what he said? You must dress well, dress neatly, and look nice. Otherwise, you have demonic problems. And he wasn't joking. He didn't use to crack jokes the way I do. He meant it literally. So you just look, the way you are looking, you will attract demons. Some women will leave their house. They won't even bother to straighten their hair. Demons will escort you. That's what he said. And I have a strong feeling that he's right. I think so. I think the man is quite right. Look nice. The one I can't understand. See, if you wear dirty clothes, you won't have a demonic problem. You already have. No, you already have. It's already inside there. That dirty clothes don't, you know, they are not repulsive to you. So something's already going wrong with you. I guess you don't know. It's a sign of mental illness. Yeah, no, I'm not kidding. It is. One of the ways you decode that somebody is going off balance is that he's losing social inhibition. If I remember one woman talking about somebody, he said the guy is not okay. He said his clothes are getting dirty. That was stuck in my head. He said his clothes are getting dirty. The day I heard it, it's stuck in my head. I never heard it before. He said, I heard that his clothes are now getting dirty. You leave your house, just carry trousers for ground, wear them. Yeah, just in front. You saw one shirt at the door. You carry and shake and shake. In fact, you didn't even shake it. Just watch the thing. The Lord is good. Let me not get stuck on that. Anyway, so let me just give you a summary. Did I say wear expensive clothes? I didn't say so. I said just look nice. Button your shirt. Let it be. Now I want to give you another funny one. This is very personal. If you don't agree with me, the Lord will still bless you on the one I'm about to say. Let your clothes have alignment. I don't understand clothes that don't have alignment. The left has hand, the right doesn't have arm. I don't understand. No, like I said, that's my own opinion. I'm not saying women, just believe. Men don't do it. Any man that does it should be taken to a psychiatric hospital immediately or brought for deliverance. When women do it, we know that Eve was deceived. So let's just leave that thing like that. We know it's deception. All right? Do you see women do that? Just wake up in the morning. Say, mother, why is your right arm covered and your left arm not covered? I don't understand. I don't get it. And they say, okay, let me go over there again. Let me just tell you something. There's a principle about Christianity, eh? We lead in conservative fashion. We never lead in the opposite direction. Is that okay? Let me just summarize like that. There are many things to say about it. Okay? So if people are doing fashion, don't be the first to start something crazy. And when they start it, don't follow them. That is why there's nobody that listens to me that can wear tonsils. If you wear it, Father God, may the jeans tear more. And may it not be repaired. But anybody who says I listen to Pastor Banky is forbidden from wearing tonsils. I think it's an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. Now, I know when I'm joking, I mean that literally. You can't be copying things that were developed by people who had mental problems. Why? There was a time men began to sag. And people thought it was fashionable. Listen, what you consider fashionable reflects the state of your spirit. Now, that is not a joke. That one, you can't disagree with me. I know when I tell you, look, you can hold your opinion. This one, you can't. What I've told you is the opinion of God. There are some fashions that are pure effeminate for men to copy. God hates the effeminate spirit. You know what they call an effeminate spirit? A man behaving like a man. You see this transgender thing? It's a demonic spirit from the pit of hell. That is purely what it is. Cross-dressing is a demonic spirit. So those Nigerian people, they say they are cross-dressers. They are demon-possessed. You may even have started it because of money, you know, want to trend and all of that. After a while, demon sits on you. Let me explain something, eh? If you read the scriptures, please, go and study the laws of Moses. Now, we're not under the law, like do this or don't do that or you go to hell. No, that's not what we're doing. But do you know, every time you see a law, like I was telling my children, every commandment, ask yourself, why is it there? It's always there to address an issue. And why you need to know that is that the way that thing may manifest in your own culture, your own generation may be different, so you don't fall for it. Like one of the things I want to teach again, all right, God allow me to get there, is, okay, there's a series I taught some time ago titled No More Foreign Gods. I want to summarize it in one message, all right? Talking about the God of the nations. That's the title I want to give it. There are a lot of gods that people serve today, and Christians are worshiping the same gods and they don't know. Because these gods are in the economy, they're in the market, they're in the banks, they're in the way they do business, they're in the way they plan their future, they're all foreign gods. Retirement planning, the way it's done, is a foreign god. Yeah. See, God judges anything you put hope for your future in apart from him. He will judge it. He takes it personal. See, call it 401k, I will crash it. A year after you retire, all the money will vanish. You will go back to God and learn how to pray. Oh, there are many foreign gods. Let me not leave the thing I was going to say. So that's why you have to understand the precepts behind anything that God says. You have to understand the precept. See, one of the greatest things God can do for you, and I pray that he should do it for me, is to give you faith to rest in him entirely.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
That is, you send, maybe you make a payment, you get the bank, you know, what they call it, alert. Yeah, you just look at it, balance. 950 naira, and that's all you have. You're not expecting any payment for the next 6 weeks. And then you look at it, you get the alert maybe around 12 midnight, and before you finish reading, you have fallen asleep. You know, someone will get it and sit up and shake your head. 950. That's not more than 1 liter of fuel. If I buy units now, that's like 4 units of energy. Keke will not even agree to carry me from here to the office. Yeah. This is 12 midnight. As at 2 a.m., you are still seeing the things that 950 naira cannot do. You say, okay, even if I say, let me go and withdraw it from an ATM machine, you don't even have change. If I go to POS operator, the charge alone. But this time around, it's 2 a.m. You now get up and start praying till 4 a.m. And God says, I cannot answer. Why? is worry. See that guy who saw his own and fell asleep. I will send him more money quicker than not this your 2 hours prayer. Oh, yes. Why? He fell asleep because there was no worry. That's the one thing you pray that God should do for you.
Yes.
See, a lot of people taking actions in this our nation today. You know what's driving them up and down? I'll tell you. Faithlessness. They're scared. Do I think people should be scared? Of course not. Why should they be scared? But am I saying there's nothing that's scary going on? Of course, many things are going on scary all over the place. Ah, let me let you know. Everywhere. A lot of people are running to places where they don't even know what is waiting for them. Because they think there is comfort there. Hey, it's terrible. One of my classmates sent something the other day. I laughed. He went to Ghana for something. He said, oh boy, I didn't know this thing was everywhere. Look at things are so costly in Ghana. There's something I've noticed about Ghana. Eh? If you're in Ghana, God bless you. But listen to something I know about Ghana and Nigeria. Okay? You know what I found out? When did Ghana gain independence? Who knows? 57. Thank you. I think it's 57. Yeah. You know what I found out? A lot of things that happened in Nigeria, happened 2 years, 3 years before in Ghana. It's been going on like that for some time. We're talking about fuel price now, My friends, colleagues from Ghana complained about it to me. Like 4 years before. They wiped out subsidy on fuel, like 5 years before Nigeria did. When you say how much we're buying fuel in Nigeria, like, what? One of my colleagues came from Ghana, was it last year? We were talking, he was telling me about devaluation. How he was going to turn 50, and his plan was to buy himself, as his own birthday present, a particular German car, brand new. So he kept the money there, waiting for a few weeks before, so just gathered the money then. When I turn 50, I'm going to get this. He said, look at it now. That the money is worth exactly half of what it used to be worth. He was telling me this last year or the year before. So that's what you did not do. He decided to go and buy a house. That there's this house that the government is selling or some developers are selling. That before all his value disappears, let him go and put his money somewhere. So he bought a house. 2-3 years later, Nigerians are telling exactly the same story. Just to let you know. Oh, and then, UK has a new prime minister. Took office yesterday. And I was joking with some of my guys. I said, you guys have had 5 prime ministers in 5 years. From Theresa May to, what's the name of her? That guy with Boris Johnson to Liz Truss to Rishi Sunak and then Neil Scammer, whatever that the new guy now. All right. I said, 5 prime ministers in 5 years. You guys should get a Nobel Prize in physics for motion. That you are really moving. And I told them, I said, if it's Nigeria, now you guys will yap us there. We won't hear the last of it, though. He said, this is a place where things move smoothly. I said, it's so smooth, you guys are always falling in and falling out. It's very smooth. Do you understand? I said, it's smooth. He said, it's a well oil. I said, this oil is working. You enter, you fall out on the other side. Liz Truss managed to set a record. She was prime minister for, is it 3 weeks or 6 weeks? I think it was 6 weeks. Before she could sit down, she and her Ghanaian brother, her chancellor of the exchequer. Now, this is where I'm going. The Labour, is it Labour Party they call them? Anyway, the Labour people that won now, they threw out the Conservatives by an unprecedented landslide. Why? That's where I'm going. Why? Just one reason. Economy. That's the basic thing. The other things here, the basic thing is that things are so expensive. And humans will always have somebody to blame. That's the truth. They always have somebody to blame. It doesn't mean that the person is responsible, but we must blame somebody. And again, let me just say that to you. When a party loses, it's not because they are worse than the party coming in. It's like people just say, change is what we want. Then after a few days, they say, is this the change we voted for? It's a human thing. It's not Nigerian issue. It's a human thing. Look, if you are president, when things are rough, you will lose the next election. And it doesn't have to be your fault. It can be because there's a war in Ukraine and one in Gaza. And then you are somewhere in East Africa and you lose the election. Because the major importation of grain for you came from Ukraine. Now you're not getting your grain the way you used to get it. They say, which kind of government is this? And God says, as soon as they are saying government, I will punish them more. They won't say, where is God my maker? Grain is a gift I give. So I shut down the supply of grain. And you blame, yeah, you change the government. And we've seen it again. See, in this country, we complain about every government. It's not also, it's human beings. Now, in case you do not know, let me just drop, not the defense of the federal government in Nigeria, but fact. That's how things are all over the world. It's still, let's stop in a natural plane for a moment. Is it the effect of COVID that has not gone away? Because you can't shut down production worldwide for a whole year and you won't feel it. Eventually, you have to feel it. One of the largest exporters of grain in the world is Ukraine. They are still fighting. I hope you're getting my point. Just to let you know how God does some things. I don't want to blame the things, but how God does some... Like, in one reason why food is very expensive in Nigeria is because farmers are not going to the farm. They are afraid for their lives. Okay, but let's not sit on that economics issue, okay? But I'm just going to say, human beings are like that. So people just get up, leave one place, go into another. They don't even know what is waiting for them there. Look, last year, the energy crisis... Now, many of you are in Band A now. Who was I talking with yesterday? I said, we are still not paying for energy. That price of Band A, you are still not paying. You are still... If you know... Look, electricity is not the same thing as telecom. Electricity is expensive everywhere in the world. I asked my friend some time ago. He has a four-bedroom house. Four-bedroom, two sitting rooms. Nice house in suburban Houston. What's your cost? $1,000 a month. Last year in UK, it was so bad. The cost was going through the roof. The government had to cap it. And people say, okay, so who will pay? Because we are capping it. That's one of the reasons why they threw out the straws in a few days, partly because of energy crisis. Because when it's winter period, every house is using its heater. In some of those countries, energy cost goes up tenfold. In one, look, they say, okay, when does winter start? I don't know. This is Nigeria. I only know Hamadan. November. You pay for some maybe energy, particular amount, unit, in September. You come in December. It's 10 times. Now imagine that those of us in Band A, you go to buy something next. They tell you it's now 2,500 naira per unit. See, let me not sit on that. I need to preach my message because I'm beginning to get lost now. Let me try. So, if you think that somebody, you run somewhere and then your life will be okay, don't be deceiving yourself. How did I get to that? You know, like I tell you, I'm about to get missing. Talking about precepts. Eh? Yeah. I'm talking about precepts and them. Command faith. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. And that's very key. Yeah. That's it. Faith. Yes. Okay. Now, I know I went through that. Okay. I was talking about other gods. The gods of the nations. Yeah. That's why I went through that. Sometimes, some of the things we are trying to do is nothing but putting your hope in another God. And God will come and judge it. That's what I'm talking about, the gods of the nations. Back to the issue, we're talking about precepts. Okay? So God gives commandments. You read them. Many of those commandments were written to prevent the worship of other gods. Spirits come into the earth. I'm not kidding about what I'm about to tell you, all right? There's a way you behave that you attract a kind of spirit, listen to this carefully, and they dictate what you wear. By the time we start thinking rags are fashionable, there's a spiritual problem in the society. Now, I know what I'm telling you. That's why I went into the issue of other gods. There's a way you worship. You wake up in the morning, rags are suddenly fashionable to you. And then you wear rags, and young people think you know what you are doing. Why? They call you an influencer. And actually, you are influencing them. They don't know that you became possessed of an evil spirit. So when you look in the mirror, you see, you have to understand, we don't see with our eyes. We see through our eyes. Somebody taught me that. I read it somewhere. These eyes, they are not the things you used to see. You see through them. What you used to see actually is a spirit. Is a kind of spirit inside you. It's the reason why you will look at something and call it beautiful. And look at another and you don't call it beautiful. You don't actually see what you are seeing. You are comparing with a reference in your heart. The first day God began to give me revelation on understanding of process of life. Shortly after NYSC. Was it before NYSC? I went to an office, I sat down, and I looked, and I saw a white-headed eagle, a beautiful portrait. I think it was a painting or picture of it. It was a big one. And I said, wow, this is beautiful. And something in me said, how is it different from a vulture? I looked closer again. It actually looks like a vulture. But I said to myself, you know you will never call a vulture beautiful. You're an African. You will never call a vulture beautiful. But for all intents and purposes, this thing you are just calling beautiful looks like a vulture. Then I went back home and wrote an article on it. The perception is titled The Perception of Beauty. It dawned on me that what you see with your eyes have nothing to do with the physical reality. It's what is inside your heart. When I saw the eagle, many things came to my mind. You will mount up with wings like what? Like an eagle. It's a Christian mind with which I saw the eagle. Every preachers are using it to preach how the eagle will go to a mountain and hibernate and knock out the beak and remove the claws and come out and pluck out the old feather. How the eagle, will carry her young and teach them how to fly. Everything about the eagle was like God. If you look in the sky, say one of these birds has the spirit of God. You know the one now. It's the eagle. But vulture, it's in the Bible. Where the carcass is, there the vultures gather. If you use the modern translation, you know it now. Anytime you see the carcass beginning to circle, you know something is dying down there. Saprophyte. You know what they call a saprophyte? Fungi that feed on dead things. Or we know they are scavengers. We have everything about the eagle and the vulture is negative in your mind. So no matter what the vulture looks like, look and say, Satan, get behind me, Satan. And if you now see anybody that looks like a vulture, do you get my point? By the way, if you know psychology, you can go and read about what they call the Oedipus complex. Oedipus, of course, you know the story. Killed the father to marry the mother. He didn't know anyway if you know the story. But then the idea is that this guy killed the father and married the mother. All right? There's a long story about it. I don't want to talk about that now. But so psychologists now describe that young men who are so attached to their mother that when they want to marry, the girl has to look like their mother. People say that, I said, no, forget that thing. It's not like they are trying to replicate their mother. No. Is that their mother is a picture of beauty. That woman has become the picture of beauty. That's all. So don't try and explain to him that you don't have to marry someone that looks like your mother. He tells him, the one thing concerns me, I don't care. But that girl is fine. You are the one that realizes that she actually looks like the mother. So when we are looking at things, it was inside us that is seen, not the eyes. I had a story of two young men. Was it two young fellows? I don't know whether they are both guys or a man and a woman. That they listen to rock music. Rock, you know rock. Rock. Hard rock. I don't mean soft rock. Hard rock. You know that kind of thing. And they went into their room, came out. They had cut their hair here, cut it here, colored it like this, turned the clothes like everything. Look in the mirror. Yo! Their perception of beauty had changed. When the spirit inside the hard rock entered them, their perception of beauty changed. So to color one side of your head red, the other one purple, and the middle green. It was look. See, you don't get the point. It's looking nice to the person. That's like the kind of spirit you drink. That's why people say, if you get up in the morning, you go to market, buy jeans, and it is torn. You are buying into an evil culture. For people to wake up and suddenly rags look nice to them, it's an evil culture. You wear shirt and you put holes in it. You've gotten mental. You just don't know. You don't know. There's a spirit you are drinking. No, go and check. He has bipolar disease. So it's not like you are abusing him. He's well known. Well, my friend is a physician in America. He said, the problem with the guy is that he doesn't take his medicine. Wakes up in the morning and creates fashion without taking his medicine. And you are following it. That's why the scripture says the godly ones in the land, they are my true heroes. The godly ones in the land, David said, they are my true heroes. You have to know who to follow in this life. You sit down there. All these stupid girls on in fashion, not fashion, what do you call it? Showbiz. They are the ones telling you what to wear. The funny part is that you will not know when you've bought the spirit. Just wake up in the morning. You finish dressing, then you carry all your breast, push it into your throat. I'll be walking on the road. And you don't even realize how crazy you look. Actually, you don't look crazy to you. You only look crazy to us who read the Bible. We woke up in the morning and said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall know. What was he? Eh? Now, you don't think anything's wrong with you. You carry your crown, you tear it everywhere. And you And so one girl show up one day. America said, okay, we don't say we're mad, but we're never mad like this. What's her name that time? Is it Toni Braxton? That showed up with two straps, one on her chest and one on her waist. And came out to present at Grammy. Oh, America wanted to kill her. What kind of madness is this? Now people compete according to Dolly Parton. You pay so much to look so cheap. Yeah, that's what she said. You pay so much to look so cheap. She was abusing herself. She wasn't teaching philosophy. She was saying, thank you so much for coming for my show. I need the money. You know, you have to pay so much to look so cheap. I said, the Spirit of God spoke by you. Now, why am I talking about that? Is the reason why God used to give some funny commandments, funny in quotes now, to the people of Israel. Tells them how to wear their clothes, how to cut their hair, how to shave, because he knew what he was saying to them. You bought a culture that is wrong. And if I allow you to carry that, it sounds like a physical thing, all right, into the land, you will go in there with evil spirits. You will go in there, you won't know. Evil spirits will just ride with you into the land. And after 2-3 generations, I drive all of you out. So tell them, look, oh yeah, this is how you cut your hair. Don't cut your hair like this. Because from where you are coming from, evil spirits will follow you if your hair is like this. What am I saying? Anytime we see a commandment, don't just dismiss it. We're not under the law. I know. We preach it. You're not under the law. But ask yourself, is it that God was looking for what to type when he wrote this one? Or there's a reason? Pray, God reveal to me the reason. Because sometimes you're not under the law, you're not keeping that commandment, but you are doing something else that is putting you in jeopardy, in the kind of danger that God was trying to prevent. In this generation, it may not even be your clothes. Maybe the where you subscribe to, the channels that you subscribe to on WhatsApp. Where do you spend most of your time when you're on YouTube? There may not be any straightforward commandment because there was no YouTube that time when Moses was crossing the Red Sea and going to Mount Sinai. And that's another thing. Let me just really stay there for a moment. That's why you have to be careful when it comes to legalism. Legalism sometimes misses the spirit. You'll be solving problems that do not exist in your generation. I don't know what I get my point. What I'm really saying now is that Maybe they say that thou shalt not boil a kid, that is a young goat, in the mother's milk. You come to your church, nobody in this church should have any recipe that has meat and the milk of another. You never can tell. You know, you shout all of that. And people don't eat in a particular way. There's only one problem. It introduces nothing into their lives if they did. And they are not doing it, doesn't take anything from them. But the same persons, they have influencers that they watch every day with all the filters to make her or him look one particular way. And the love of money, turning money into an idol, is entering into their hearts on a daily basis. Now, let me give you one commandment along that line. If there's anybody, Facebook, Instagram, all these people, influencers, that show off what they wear, all right, and that's what they show off, you are commanded to stop following them. Anytime it pops up, click dislike, 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 so that the algorithm will recognize you don't like it. They only introduce evil spirits. It's why young men steal, it's why young women go into harlotry. And they don't plan to. They just look at the wrong person every day. And these people are lying. But they see inject that spirit. So you see people who say we don't eat milk and goat meat. But they are following one stupid influencer. And the same evil spirit is entering their lives. That's the problem with legalism. If you follow this written code. Because there are things in different generations. In your generation, it probably does not exist that way. That same spirit is lurking around, but not the way the other people were tapping into it. Will you tap into it in this generation? But you don't know. You're so stuck on legal and feeling righteous because you're obeying laws that were written, you know, by Moses for people leaving Egypt, going to a promised land, that they had a different form of idolatry compared with today. That is a manifestation. Please, I hope you're getting my point. That is why we go for the spirit. You read the law. So what is this law actually trying to say? What was it preventing for them? How is that spirit manifesting in my generation? And that's a job, again, small aside, if you're a pastor, that's your job. You need prophetic insight to know what to instruct people concerning. See, thank God for the people who say the Bible is so simple, anybody can understand it. I didn't see it like that. You know, some things are just, you know, nice cliches and all of that. You just read your Bible for yourself. Okay. That is, you didn't read the Bible, read it. But if you think that you can understand everything like that, you're deceived. You're telling God that he doesn't know what he's saying when he said, I will give you pastors after my heart. You are saying to God, when he gave gifts unto men, and he gave some as pastors and teachers, he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know you will have a Bible. Because you need prophetic insight to bring the word of God to relevance in every generation. You need prophetic insight to bring the word of God to relevance in every generation. Every generation has its own problems. And you see, the counsel of God is so wide, God has to narrow it each time for you to be able to eat it and apply it in a lifetime. If God were to give you all the words that his word totally out there, you spend a whole lifetime trying to understand a proton. And you will not fulfill your destiny. And you will not even fully understand a proton. You know what they call a proton? So God narrows that word for your generation, amplifies the necessary areas in your generation. And many things he just leave them out. You will learn this when you get to heaven. I'm giving that for preachers to understand. You have a responsibility to help people know what to beware of. You come to church, just say, brethren, there's a trend going on out there. Please, in the name of the Lord, don't participate. Two lines. And those who truly are listening to you, they take caution. They are careful. And they are spared a lot of trouble. And many people don't listen. They'll go that way. It takes them 15 years of heartbreaks, of disappointments, of sickness, of mental anguish to realize that their problem came from following Davido. I don't know. There are different Davidos. I'm not saying the one that's singing in Nigeria. Is David not the common name? I'm not saying he's the one. That name just came to my mind. And in case the Lord is telling some young men here to go and find another musician to follow. I hope it's not every music you nod to. Sure, you know that. It's not every music you nod to. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, wave. Oh, this country, man, don't they crazy? You are nodding. Mm-hmm. You see, that's how you are going to go mad too. Did you get my point? You just there, your name is everything you are nodding to. When you hear that kind of say, me, I shall not crazy in Jesus' name. Switch off the nonsense. Someone that sang that and said, Nigeria, the jaga jaga. I said, Obasanjo just said, your mama, the jaga jaga. Do you remember? Obasanjo just told him that. I said, very good. Now, I'm not saying it's very good. I said, I wouldn't say that. But the president told him that to let everybody else know that let the jaga jaga be in your family. You know, I was listening to, was Pastor Chin talking that he was speaking. He said something. Wait. I think it was in Asaba. He spoke with some insights and I said, wow. Talking about music, you know, he does music and all of that. He said some things about music. He said to the Rastafarians those days that Bob Marley was a prophet. I won't tell you the things he said. When he explained so, I said, my God, I never saw it from this angle. And if you examine the words, you know that guy had his own kind of inspiration. Some of you are filled with the Spirit of God. Some of you are filled with spirit from weed. One day I told one of my friends, we're joking. I said, you know I'm inspired. He said, Bishop, they call me Bishop in my class group. He said, Bishop, this is your inspiration. Let's be sure. He said, because I just finished watching Peter Tosh. He said, the guy beat drum in such a manner that I've never seen that kind of inspiration for drum beating. Except that he just finished, that is, he sent us the link, and this guy puffed one large one, filled his head with smoke, then he collected the drum, and started beating. And really, you know that, man, this guy had inspiration. So he said, Bishop, where is your inspiration coming from? The Lord is good. See, some people you are listening to, where their inspiration is coming from, is deadly. And if you sit down and give them your heart long enough, they give you a bit of it. You wonder why you wake up in the morning, suddenly you feel like taking Purumiri. Yes, and somebody will bring it for you. Spiritual things are connected. Have you noticed? When I say Purumiri, now most of you have never seen where they sell it. You don't know how much it is. You don't know. Because your spirits don't connect. When I was in school, I was a medical student, we had one particular guy on admission, our psychiatric ward. He was a drug dealer, a drug trafficker. He didn't hide it. He had become addicted to, I think, cocaine, one of those drugs. So he came to get himself freed. So he traveled from somewhere else, came to our city, checked himself into our hospital, and he was on admission for treatment to free him of addiction. But that's the business he did. He wasn't planning to change. He didn't like the fact that he was now hooked to drugs. So he said he came on Friday. The clinic had closed. And he's well. Alright? He's well. So he's like, he came by himself. He came with public transport, looked for the hospital, came in, said the clinic has closed. And it was not an emergency. Nobody was. So he said, okay, he had to wait till maybe Monday or Tuesday to get to the psychiatric clinic where they would take care of his matter. So he said, alright. He said that, so he went out to town, a town he hardly knew. And he went to buy enough drugs to stack, to use for the weekend. So my guys were like, how did you know where to buy? And they looked at them like, don't worry. It's because you don't use it. If you use it, any time you get to, you know where it is sold. That's what he told them. Because they were surprised. They were, you know, guys, young guys, they were talking with him. He was telling them, how you take no? It's like, relax. There are people who know where they sell gun in this town. That is, they... Well, if I tell you to go and buy catapult, 2 years, you won't find it. Because your own is to go to church and go to work. From there, you go back to church. Then you go home. Then you go to work. Then you go to market. That same market, there are boys that will bring AK-47, AK-48, bazooka from under. Do you understand? They just open this thing. Something will come out. But you are there pricing goods and pricing meat, pepper. Why? Your spirits don't connect. Even if you go there and say, I beg, I won't buy a gun. They you call police for you. You are the one police will arrest. 6 weeks later, we are still trying to bail you. You know why? Your spirit. People don't know. That's how these spiritual things work. Your spirit don't cut. Those days, one day, one of our brothers asked me, he said, Brother Banky, how do you get these materials? I always had the, look, you come, I have all kinds of tapes and books. He said, how do you get them? That was the first thing he struck me that I don't even know. So I thought, I gave him an answer. You know the answer I gave him? I want them. I said, I want them. That was the answer I gave him. I said, I want them. And literally, I still remember, one brother ran to my office, he said, Banky, I know you need to listen to this. Listen to it. I said, no need. Give it to me. Sit down. I put it at a Sony Twin Cam, you know, deck. Bam. Made a copy. You can have your original back. I'll listen to it later. And really, when I listened to the tape, he was right. People will buy a book and say, give to Banky. He needs to read this. I said, okay, is I want them. I want them. See, these things are spiritual. They connect. That is why God, now, back to where I began that from. That's why God warns concerning the kind of spirit you let into your life. Because something about evil spirits, I wrote in the book, Worship and Sex Control. I said, evil spirits, how did I say it again? They attract each other. There's something I said about it. Something like bad habits attract evil spirits and evil spirits attract each other. I've forgotten, there's something I said like that. Okay, just, I was about to say it and I didn't get the words right. But it's in the book. Spirits attract each other. Jesus talked about it. The spirit comes. This place is not safe. He goes back, collects 7 spirits. More wicked than himself. There are spirits that just follow. Some spirits can't come in by themselves. Other spirits must go in first. Usually the weaker spirits. Now, when I say weaker now, it may not be so weak, but what I mean is the one that's more subtle, the one that you will not think anything of, goes in first. Takes over the house, opens the door for the next one to come in. So you see a very nice, you know, was it Judah was telling yesterday that there was a particular guy, okay, went to buy something. I said, you know the man who started this company is dead. He said, I didn't know. I said, he was killed. He said, what? I said, he was killed by a medical doctor who is a serial killer. He said, is he a serial killer? I said, yes, he's a serial killer. Why did he kill him? I said, I wanted to steal his money. Some of you should know what I'm talking about. The man gave him an injection in his own room in a hotel in Abuja, one of these big hotels, and cut him to pieces. The only thing he could steal from him is what he had on him. Yet he killed the man. And the kind of thing you read from America. And this guy is a trained doctor. Decided to be a thief. Before the man knew what was happening, he had stuck with his needle. Of course, he's a doctor. He knows what to push into you. You fall asleep in 2 minutes. Went ahead to slaughter the man. So where I'm going is that, why did he start? Think he was born like that? It starts with little things. Sometimes it starts with the kind of shoes or clothes he wants to wear. He's obsessed with his own looks. He doesn't know he's a demonic spirit. Then now, next thing, he starts lying, borrowing money from people and refusing to pay them back. Before he knows what's happening, he starts killing. Now, what he doesn't know is that he's a spirit. You know, to murder a man in cold blood is not easy. It's not easy. You need to be possessed. There are times in which somebody in a fit of rage, he does something. He doesn't even know what he did. But to murder somebody in cold blood, prepare your injection, meet him, stab him, cut him to pieces. He literally bagged the part and went and threw it in the bush. The kind of things you read, you know, the guy who started go-karting, that's how they killed him also. He lent one guy money so as not to pay back $120,000 thereabouts. The guy beheaded him and cut his body to pieces. This was in somewhere in the U.S. Now, where I'm going is that, so, you see, when you see God give some commandments, that's the reason why. He will tell them, look, he will tell them as a society, I don't want to hear you sacrifice your children to Molech. Because at the end, and this is what happens always at the end, I will have to wipe all of you out, otherwise I will have to destroy the whole globe. So I really cut my losses. How do I cut my losses? I take a whole nation and kill everybody. Burn their bones, burn their books, burn their artifacts, burn anything they've had. Have a volcanic eruption, bury them in a rock. According to David, I erase the very memory of them. It's not them I have an issue with. It's the spirit of Molech that has entered them, now residing amongst them on the earth. And that spirit comes, of course, there are different generations of these things. In that particular generation, the spirit was coming to stop the coming of the Son of God. So that spirit went around everywhere, corrupt the seed, corrupt the seed, corrupt the seed. Now, okay, it has failed. There was a time he killed everybody, till he remained only one. That one died, the promise is gone. God kept the young boy. Okay, now the son has come. He has laid down his life. The spirit, okay, what else do we do? Why did the son come? He came to bring many sons to glory. All right? That should not happen. So he's fighting everywhere now. Using all kinds of methods to enter into people's lives. Why? Look, that's why you go to certain countries. And, you know, there's one issue that's going on now in Nigeria. I've not read anything about it. All right? What I mean, I've not read the details. The Nigeria signed a deal worth $150 billion and that there's a clause attached to it. Eh? Okay, good. Huh. But, so he said it's not true. Okay? It has to do with the promotion of LGBT. He now said that is not true. But I know such things are very true and they're happening all over this country already. One of our sisters, I don't know whether she's around, she'll tell you the story when she went to Abuja. Look, they interview you for a job. Aid agencies. All right? They have a lot of money. And listen, they have a lot of money. So you are a healthcare worker. She's a nurse. All right? They like people like you. They offer you the kind of money that mouth licking is your portion. You are a young doctor. The kind of money they give you. But before you take the job, they first educate you. They explain to you through some brainwashing processes that there's nothing wrong with being homosexual. There's nothing wrong with being transgender. And for goodness sake, if you don't like the baby, kill it. Because you have a future ahead of you. Is it your fault you got pregnant as a young woman? Okay, you're a married woman. This is not the child you want right now. You already have two. Your life has to move on. And they explain it to you, technically telling you this is the job you'll be doing. What do they give you in return? Money. Money, opportunity to travel abroad, all kinds of things. And you literally will sell your soul if you're not careful. See, this life, I've been saying, read my book, Grace to Prosper. You must take the vow of poverty. What's the vow of poverty? Say, God, let me die poor. I will serve you. Don't compromise your values for money. You know why? Because there are people out there that are agents of Satan. They've been sent. Please, let me tell you about money. Money is a spiritual force. Eh? Some people, they just have it. I don't know how to say it. You saw that guy that did that interview was describing the kind of monies that some Nigerians have. Mention one former big guy in Nigeria. He said the guy banked £200 million. That's why when we don't pay him, that's why they don't ask for money. You know what I'm talking about? Because we have a business as a ministry with one of their this thing. There are people out there, eh? They buy a young girl a brand new car to sleep with her once. Yeah. Yeah. See, it's nothing. There's one of these guys that President Basu just talked about in that video when somebody was interviewing him. I have a friend in this city told me that there was a guy in this town who went to marry a girl. He has some money, not too much, okay? The girl said she wanted to go abroad to go and do masters. The guy, you know, ran around and gave her money so she could go abroad and go and do her masters. This guy saw her. He liked the girl. Dashed her £20,000. Did you hear what I said? The guy knows. £20,000. Take. Buy yourself something. He took this girl from that guy. And after a while, he left her. He wasn't interested again. You know, it's because we stream, eh? I'll have been giving you names. You know, I've been around for a long time. See, young women, listen to me. Just tell yourself you are more valuable than anything material. Now, why am I going with the whole thing? You think it's money. It's not money. Go and read what they said about Babylon. What did they trade in there? The souls of men. That is a Babylonian spirit. They are buying souls. You think it's money? He just bought that girl's soul. £20,000. He has paid. He moved on to another person. If those spirits see that, oh boy, this girl has a destiny that's brilliant. They said, up the money, £100,000. They have to see that, if you like, kill him, you know, go agree. No, think about it. Mary, mother of Jesus Christ. Imagine, she went to London to go and do mass. They said, now you go born savior. If you be the devil, how much you go offer? Anything. Anything. See, the devil will offer anything. Anything you give to her. The only issue that she will not know why. That is the point now. That is the key. She won't know. She won't know that I'm about to spoil something. The man wire her £5 million. To you, it's a lot of money to be his girlfriend for a year. But what you don't understand is that this is a plan God had for thousands of years. You just mess it up in your lineage for something as small as a £1 million. So bear it in mind, Babylon, they buy and sell the souls of men. Money, see, when Satan came to Jesus Christ, what did he say? Look at all the kingdoms. He said, they've been delivered to me. Let me say something to Christians again, as I'm teaching this morning. God is not afraid, that is Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, is not afraid of the devil in your life. Know who is afraid? Afraid in quotes now. He's concerned about is Satan. So what's the difference? Devil is the one that kills. Satan is the one that tempts. And number one way Satan comes is Mammon. That is the one Jesus says, beware. That Mammon. See, sexual immorality is bad. But the temptation is not as strong as that of Mammon. Sexual immorality is always clear what it is. Mammon is hardly clear. Mammon comes in different ways. It's always about, you have to take care of you. This is how you are going to do. After your parents who spent money, they are looking up to you. That's Mammon. And the problem with Mammon, one major strategy of Mammon is timing. He postpones obedience. He never tells you don't obey. See, this thing is a subtle. He will tell you, look, there is nothing wrong with, I know you have to do ministry. Or you say, okay, God sent you here, it's okay. But go and bury your father first. Build the house first. Okay, now, is it this, you know where you married this girl from? You saw how comfortable she was when you went and married her. She has two children for you now. You now want her and her children to suffer. What would her father say? Well, not saying she didn't obey God, but please, for goodness sake, build a house first. It's just a bungalow we are saying. Just go to Centenary, get a bungalow there. At least you know that your wife and your children, they are going to be comfortable. They are taken care of. That's what I'm just saying. Who's saying that you shouldn't preach? I'm a preacher. Is it not preacher? I'm preaching to you now. That's Satan talking. No, the day that man told Jesus Christ, let me first go. Jesus said, people like you are not worthy of the kingdom. Yeah. Anybody that will put other things first. Say, look, better follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. He didn't even let somebody go and tell the people bye-bye. That's how much promptness is important to him. Now, I'm talking about Mammon. Mammon would not tell you, don't obey God. Though. I've seen it. See, even though I'm careful, I cannot fully judge the things of other people, but at least there are precepts we walk by. I've seen people break these precepts all the time. We will go. When we are finished, we will come back. I said, who told you he will be waiting? What gave you the impression he's going to be there waiting? I mean, who told you that you determine the timing and not him? Every assignment has its time. You don't do it when you like. You do it when the time is right. If you miss the timing, you miss the timing of your visitation. You miss the timing of your... See, you don't... After the only way to walk with God there is to come out, first commit suicide. You know what they call suicide? Yeah, spiritually. But then you give your life to Christ, say, I don't die. I'm the most brilliant human being in Nigeria, but I will die poor. Now, please get me. You're not confessing poverty on yourself. You're saying that I'm not afraid of it. There are people that God will say, see, you know your mother went to have you in America those days so that, how old are you now? You're 21. Say, where's your American passport? It's in my drawer. God said, bring it. See that place where they are cooking? Throw it inside. Say, well, it's your escape route. I don't want you to escape anywhere. Just throw it. Throw it inside. Lord, my father, I know your father will be angry. What about me? You think I'll be happy? Why do you want to please your earthly father and displease me? And you think it's okay? Okay, Muti is not around. I've told you the story of one young man. The father came here to look for me. Yeah, but that day I think I traveled. Went to see Pastor Banky. Pastor Banky is not around. Anything. The man said, heads will roll. If his son dares come back to Nigeria. Because he spent money and energy and sent the boy abroad. The boy stayed there for a few months. He's going back home. Ah, the father said, where did he get the energy from? They said, listen to Pastor Banky. The man came to look for me. Okay, but they handled the matter very well. I told him to handle it. He handled the matter very well. Handled this. Handled everything very well. But where I'm going is that the man said to okay, what is that? They should tell me that heads will roll. I said, whose head? When we laugh, see, that's how strong some people can be about these things. And it's terrible when you are the son on the other end. God says, you choose who you obey. I've made my point clear. That's how God is sometimes. He said, no, make up your mind. How old are you? Say, I'm 26. Good, you're old enough. The other time he said, I have made my point clear to you. Let me tell you another thing. God is not saying, hey, come back here, I will bless you. He said, no, there's nothing like that. I have blessed you already. So, well, I'm not negotiating. I pray Christians will understand. He doesn't negotiate. What's negotiation? Come back here and come and trek. Go back to your state and go and take a job in secondary school management board. Okay, you're a doctor. Good. Go to their health ministry there. I'm going to be walking in one rural area. My friend, don't be stupid. So you bless me? No. Don't be giving me conditions. You can't be giving me conditions now. I own you. You are giving me conditions. Are you out of your mind? I own. Do you get my point? My car wakes up in the morning. If you don't wash me, I won't go out. Ah. Hey. I said, this AI speed, where you drinking? I will deactivate your chips. What's wrong with you? You're my motor car. I start you, I drive you. See, that's what it means to be a slave of Christ. Oh, the Lord is good. What am I saying of that? So, listen, those people, that buy the souls of men, is spirits they are introducing to the earth. They are trying to prevent the birthing of the Son of God in all the lives that they can. That's what they do. They will use anything. And they have it. Let me just tell you, they have the money. They will use all kinds of methods. That's why if you don't die to yourself first, you can't save the Lord. You have to get to a point where you don't care whether you are rich or poor. You have to get to a point where they say, if you rush, they'll give you $1 million. Say, I can't wake up now. Sorry. I want to pray. It's $1 million. There's one thing I used to say. I said, look, people will come and say, one day, if you ask Reverend Yinka, he'll tell you one story there. Some people had, he said, how much that if they offered you, let's use today's Naira, because this Naira was some years ago. If they offered you 750 million Naira contract, but you need, and you get the news a day to your wedding. So the day of the signing of the job is, you're not going to be in town. It's on your wedding day. What will you do? Conversation started. Do you remember? You spoke that day. These were married people. Conversation started. You know, people were like, opportunity of a lifetime. It's your wedding, though. One particular guy, I don't know him, but he said, see, the only person you owe an explanation is your wife. And listen, and when you make that money, she will understand. You don't owe anybody. So I said, Not 750 million dash, it's a contract. So What you will even make on it, maybe if you are a good person, maybe if you, oh no, let's even push it 150. Let's even assume it is dash. They asked my opinion. I said, I read things from a different angle. I said, you that targeted my wedding day, you are a devil. I don't care how much the money is. It's that you chose my wedding day. I'm suspicious of you. It's like you tell me, I come and sign a $1 billion contract, but I should come to the top of a mountain at 12 midnight. Won't I look at you with suspicion? Say, so, oh, you want to sell my head and my kidney and my heart, Abby? No, let's think about it. If I told you that, I'm going out this night, I'm dressing up. I say, Pastor, it's 10:30 p.m. You have online service. My brother, it's not online service. We are going to Udi Hills. It's on top of one tree there. I'm meeting some people. Why? They want to sign a contract, $1 billion or more after that. No, you let Pastor stop. Sorry. Did you say Hill? Yes. The Udi Hill, yes. At this night, yes. Okay, can I escort you? No, they said I should come alone. Thank you. You will call everybody. Say, please, come and arrest our guy. He don't mad. You know, at that point in time, you won't think of the money. You're probably thinking of my safety. So, okay, who are these human beings that sign contracts at 12 midnight on top of hill where there's no road to get to? And then you must come alone. That was my own attitude that time. I said, see, look at it like the way I've looked at it. I said, me, I won't be thinking of the money. I'll be wondering, why did you target my wedding day? And as God lives, I'm not lying to you. I will tell you, I will see you on Monday. My wedding is on Saturday. We can't wait till Monday, then give somebody else. That's the understanding God has given me. I said, give somebody else. Hey! I said, hey, opportunities come but once. It's not the gospel of the man that is blessed. If really is my opportunity to come back on Monday, if you can't wait till Monday, it's not my own. And you have to understand, life, we're always being tested. They just want to check my value system. God is checking. Will you sell your wife and respect amongst your potential in-laws and your friends who have booked flight tickets, taken holiday, they have to come and be with you for money? You're a cheap human being. There's one story Rabbi Zachariah used to illustrate. I don't know whether that really happened. He said one woman was on the plane one day. Beautiful woman. And a man sitting not too far from her kept on looking at her. So after a while, the man moved over and said whether he could talk to her. She said, okay. And the man said, I've been looking at you for a while. The woman said, I noticed. So I'm just wondering, when we land, whether you would just agree to spend a night or two with me. I mean, they were flying to, let's say, London. In London, just spend a night or two with me. What do you mean? Yeah, in my hotel room, just spend a night or two. The woman said, she went to like, what? The man said, calm down. For that, I'll give you $1 million. The woman looked again. So she told the man, please leave me. After a while, she leaned over to the man and said, are you serious about the $1 million? The man said, yes. She thought about it, thought about everything. I don't know whether she was married or anything. I can't remember that part of the story or whether it really happened. Finally, she said, okay, now for $1 million, well, let her see. She agreed. So the flight continued. After a while, the man leaned over to her again and said, really, I've thought about it. I really don't have $1 million. Will you do the same thing for, let's say, $5,000? The woman got angry. What do you take me for? He said, no, that has been established. All we are doing is negotiating the price. Did you catch it?
Yes.
He said, that has been established. Now let me get a good deal for my money. Sometimes in life, that's all God is saying. Let me see whether you are for sale. We'll hike the money to a high level just to determine if you are for sale. And once we establish that you are for sale, then we can start treating you anyhow. I know the one that told me the story of some girls who go to Middle East. Yeah, go for a boat cruise with the Arab boys. They have money. You come back, you have $100,000 in your pocket. But they treat them lower than their dogs. That they treat them lower than animals. Why? They first establish that you're for sale. And once you're for sale, you can't see anything. They just increase the money. It's not for sale. And of course, if anything happens, they throw you overboard into the waters. People should understand. See, Satan, is the soul of men is buying. That's what he is buying. You have to say to yourself, to anything like, look, listen, leave me. I'm not for sale. See, this poverty, go and read your Bible, you know. Jesus glorified some things. The Bible says there are some men who they are walking around from place to place. They don't have a place of their own. Say, these are men, listen to this, that this world is not worthy to have them. They are not rich, they are not big. They walk around barefoot. They don't have three changes of clothes. They have the one they are wearing and maybe one on their back that is inside a small bag and they are going from place to place. You know, if you hear Sadhu describe experiences he has had, you start asking yourself, Jesus, is that why you talk to him face to face? I'm not saying that's why he does, but I'm just saying you'll have to ask yourself, is that why? People who don't, that is, when they say this world is not their home, they mean it and they live like it. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. That's what Jesus said. At the point that we preach the gospel, that means like his lack of knowledge. If you have knowledge, praise God. You have the whole world and have Jesus with it. Jesus said, you don't understand. That you desire the whole world is where the problem is. Anyone who loves the world is an enemy of God. That's what he said. But see, I believe in prosperity. But read my book, Grace to Prosper. There's a vow of poverty. You have to put things in proper perspective. What am I praying this morning? Don't be afraid of poverty. And when I say don't be afraid of poverty, I don't mean don't be afraid God will give you money. No, that's not what I mean. I mean if poverty comes, do it toying like this, endure it, and die in peace. And say, I won't sell a bit of my soul, a bit of my destiny for money. I will not. Why am I saying it? Because it's spirits we bring into the earth. That's why I'm saying all of this. It's which spirit are you bringing in that we are talking about? You know, we began by talking about what? Different aspects of what? The word of God, yes. So that's what happens with precepts. I went there to explain commandments. Why God gives certain commandments in the Old Testament that is under the law that look so odd. Like how you cooked your food, how you cut your hair, the kind of clothes you wore or didn't wear, how you wore those clothes, things that look like they were crazy. But believe me, if we were in that generation, God would have given us the same commandments. And today, again, I'm saying, we know the precepts of God. He wants only the Spirit of God and the angels of God to take advantage of our life to enter into the earth. Therefore, let's be careful what we dabble into. You don't want to be, again, small aside, you don't want to be one that God has to kill to preserve the sanctity of his church. I keep on saying this all the time because there are all kinds of funny human beings out there preaching the opposite. These are people that come around be giving you revelation that God does not kill Christians. Let me tell you why God killed Ananias and Sapphira. If he didn't, you probably have never heard the gospel. That is, you probably would never have heard that gospel. Because the church will have been corrupted so early. Yeah. You think Satan has stopped? He hasn't given up trying to corrupt the seed. He hasn't. When God saw that, Kai, he's gotten these ones. He said, amputate them. That was the commandment of God. Amputate that infection. Cut it off. So they walked him. Peter looked at them, possessed of the Spirit of God himself. So how did Satan fill your heart? Hi! To lie to the Holy Spirit. You are the door he found to enter into our midst. Take him out. That was what happened. I've given you exactly what happened in other words. The wife came again. Do you have the same spirit? She said, I do. Out too. She didn't say it like that, but she just came lied to him. Peter said, this one too has given herself over to Satan. Let's cut them off. That's why God used to wipe people out. People say, I've read a story one recently Somebody said that he likes God, but that the way he will not be quoting things. Kill them, men, women, animals, destroy them. And he said, how can God say that? And I said, well, don't be silly. You go to hospitals every day. Doctors do it every day. We do it every day. We cut off human parts every day. Every day. I was sitting in discussions. Today's what? Saturday. Yeah, yesterday morning. And this one happened. Then the first treatment, they removed the leg from the knee. But the tumor has now grown back around. What do we do next? Do we use the radiation? Okay, do we take it off from the hip? Doctors do it every day. They do it every day. Then when God does it, why didn't you tell your doctor he's not kind? He sees cancer, he cuts off the whole part of the body. You have nice words for it. I think we should recommend disarticulation for the patient, disarticulation. You are removing the guy's leg. That's what you are coming. Just. You say it so nicely. He said, let's see what the report says. If it's this and so on. So the MRI, what's the MRI saying? How far has it gone? I think we should go for disarticulation. Why? We are hoping the cancer has not gone beyond where we can yank off the whole leg. Or yank off the whole arm. They do it every day. But for good reasons. Humanly speaking. And that's exactly what God does. He looks at the nation of Israel. So you guys are my surgeons. That whole region is infected. That whole region has cancer. Cut it off. So what are the cells? Human beings. There are some small, small cells there. The young ones, take them out too. All of them have mutated. What am I saying? Child of God, you don't want God to add you to the list. Let nobody tell you he doesn't do it. If you open your heart and Satan wants to, and you know the most dangerous people, the one that's already inside. No, if the person is outside, doesn't have the spirit. It's not a member of the church. The angels will stay outside. But when the person has entered, he's a member of the body. He now goes out now to bring a wrong spirit. In case you do not know, let me just teach you small medical science and advanced biology. If I take a cancer cell from somewhere else and put inside you, it's not a problem. Your body will say, who be that? It will kill every one of it and wipe it out and lick its mouth. No, the problem it has with cancer, they are your cells. The body does not know how to separate them. Is this good? Is this bad? Say, they all look the same. They are my people. So this cancer cell spreads everywhere. And the normal defense system of the body is crippled for one simple reason. It's part of the body. It's the reason why God took Ananias and Sapphira out. If they were Pharisees, it's not a big deal. But they are part of the body. They are the type that spread. The Bible describes them, they spread like what? Like cancer. That's what the Bible says. I'm just giving you a warning because our God knows how to separate joint and marrow. For him, I know how to, I leave my angels out of this. I'll do it myself. You don't want to be one that God has to excise and throw away. Why? Because you are the one bringing evil spirits, cancerous spirits into the body. The Lord is good. So the word of God has different aspects. Promises, we know what those are. Precepts, I've been explaining a lot about them, and commandments and testimonies. Testimonies being commandments you derive by yourself from understanding of precepts. Okay? Now back to, of course, I've said a lot along that line when I'm talking about defense in precepts. When I say defense, it prevents you, knowing the precepts of God, prevents you from going wrong with your life, with your destiny. It prevents you from falling for the trap of Satan. Knowing and walking by the precepts of God prevents you from making choices, all right, that will end up ending your destiny so that God can't use you anymore. It's just simply a matter of precepts. Now, let me explain something again about spirituality. You know, I've said this many times. Spirituality does not mean you know how to hear God. Now, let me say something. I'm aware of how popular the doctrine or the practice of hearing God is in the body of Christ, especially amongst Pentecostals. And indeed, many of the ministers I listen to regularly, you'll see they prayed and God told them this. And they heard God say. And I want to say again, I believe in hearing God. I believe God speaks to people. I believe I've heard clear-cut communication from the Spirit of God concerning my life, giving me direction, giving me instructions. I believe in it. I hope that's clear. If it's clear, say it's clear. So you know where I stand, don't you? Good. Having said that, from experience, I want to say to you, most of the times people said in my hearing they heard God, they either lied or they were confused. I say it's a minimum of 7 out of 10. And that is trying to be ultra conservative. They either are lying or they are confused. Why? I'll tell you. Because the way Christians get away with a lot of things is to blame God amongst their brethren. Why did you marry this woman? You were not supposed to marry her. It's God. God spoke to me. Yes. Some people are about to get into, you know, strange relationships. They say it's God that said it. That's why I wrote an article or a teaching titled, Own That Decision. Own it. Own it. Own it. If you cannot own a decision, please drop it. Because many people, they use God as a cop-out. They've done what is wrong, it is God. They've done what is senseless, it is God. So let me say to you again, it's not necessary. For those of you who don't know how to hear God, don't bother learning. Don't worry. I know that will not be popular amongst Pentecostals. And I'll say it again. Let it become even... And people get angry with me still. Let him that's angry be angry still. For those of you who don't know how to hear God, I want to tell you something. Don't bother learning. Most of the time, they are going to confuse you. You cannot transfer how I hear God to another person. It's so personal, you can't teach it. Hearing God is like dreaming. How do you teach somebody how to dream? How do you teach somebody how to dream? I didn't say people don't dream. Did I say so? Did I come to your house and I say that nobody dreams? If you dream, it's of the devil. He didn't say so. But can you go and tell somebody how to dream? I go over my life, I can give you clear-cut dreams that I had. Now, first, I'm a dreamer. And some people don't dream. They can sleep for 2 years, they didn't have a dream. I don't think I can sleep for 2 weeks and I won't dream one night. And one of my reasons why I dream is that something is really playing around me. So whatever you are playing, it starts acting in my head. You know, I have Vine Nation in my soul. So when a message is playing, the actors just show up and be acting in my head. Yes, it happens a lot, okay? And that, well, for me, that's what causes most times. There are times it happened about last week or 2 weeks ago. I woke up with a funny, having had a funny dream. So I'm not trying to interpret it. Then I told myself, stop bothering to interpret. Didn't you know the message you were playing? Oh, I said, oh God. It was the message I was playing. Oftentimes I'm sleeping, I listen to something, I wake up during the night, I just play something. So a lot of times the message is still playing, I've fallen asleep. But you think you are sleeping. Your ears are hearing, your mind is decoding, and now because you are sleeping, your mind is now confused. So you now see, Kenegi will now appear to you like a... Do you understand? Honestly, you see Bele Akone trying to kill you. Why? Because he said the flesh must die. Do you? It's because you listen to a message which the man was telling you. The flesh must die. As he said that, you hear somebody carrying cutlass. The Lord is good. Now, so, I dream a lot. However, over the years, there have been a number of times I wake up, I don't need to be told. I know the dream has significance, and I take clear-cut instruction. It's happened many times. So many times. And almost every single one of them that I can quickly remember now, They've set me right. They've corrected me. They've given me information. I've been set on a proper, you know, path by that experience. So God teaches, He communicates specially to us. All right? You can't teach me how to dream. However, if I dream, you can help me understand. I hope you're getting my point. It's possible. We'll read that from the scriptures, but I don't want to go over it again. Why I say don't bother learning is because there's nobody in the Bible, not one person. Give me an example, if you have, that he went to learn how to hear God. Shout the name loud, if you have one. You hear Amos say, I'm not a prophet. I'm not the son of a prophet. I'm a keeper of sycamore trees. Then God said to me, he didn't learn anything. He only learned how to take care of fig trees, sycamore trees. And then the word of the Lord came to him. He was also a shepherd. I said, go. How did he hear that? Go, the word of God? We don't know for sure. But nobody trained him. He heard it. Moses was trained in the ways of Egypt. The day God was going to speak to him, there was no training. It was curiosity. A bush was burning. We now know that the fire he saw was the Spirit of God. There was the angel of God there that appeared like fire. And the tree was not consumed. Ah! He said, what kind of strange phenomenon is this? He came to investigate. Then he heard with his open ears the voice of the Lord. Samuel was but a child. He heard God once. He thought it was Eli. The second time, he thought it was Eli. The third time, Eli said, apparently, God is talking to this young woman. He said, go and sleep. The young boy did not try. So don't bother with any trick. It does not exist. All those that say they heard their spirit, 9 out of 10, I can tell them, look, that your spirit, I hope you know it is not the Holy Spirit. He said, if you're born again, spirit speaks, is a lie. Your born again spirit does not talk. It doesn't have a mouth. It's a spirit. I don't have time to go into that. If you have something wrong, can your spirit have something wrong? Yes. Paul told us it can be defiled. So let's not go over that again. And that defiled spirit will put thoughts and ideas in your heart. You will crystallize them into words and not be deceiving us that God spoke to you. Spirituality, this is where I'm going, is not how to hear God. I'll use the words of Bishop David Oyedepo. I heard it a few days ago. He says spirituality is scripturality. You know, Papa is a master of rhymes. He says spirituality is what? Scripturality. He said it is walking according to the dictates of scripture. So that is spirituality. You've heard me say that many times too. I just like the way he coined it. And I'll say it again. Spirituality is what? Scripturality. That's what it is. Please let me say this to us again. Even if God were to speak to you, you cannot hear beyond that which you can receive. God can appear. Look, few men ever existed on this earth, like Balaam. Yet he heard God and he was wrong. That's all I'm just going to say about it. You know the story? Balak said, Balaam, come and curse these people for me. Balaam said, I can't unless God says I should go. So he went to God and said, should I go? And God said, you can't. Why? The people are blessed. Then after that, they returned with more money and more powerful princes from Moab. Balaam said, you know, I can't go except God says I should go. So Balaam said, let me go back and ask God, without whose permission we cannot go anywhere. And you know what God said this time around? You can go. Now we know he was wrong. Did he hear the voice of God? Yes. So, are you saying he was wrong? Yes, because God never wanted him to go. God said to him what was in his heart as a stubborn desire. If he understood the precept of God, he would never have gone back there. Instead of going back to say, God, what do you say? He would have said, once he has spoken, you guys are back the second time. I've heard it twice. Do you get my point? The first one for the first time you came. Twice I have heard it. And the second one is for the second time you have come. And in case you come back a third time, 3 times I will hear it too. But I will never go back. What is the reason he went back? Money. So God said, you must think I'm a man like you that can be persuaded with money. A man came to this guy's church. Let me not tell us. Nobody can see who I'm pointing at. You're all looking at me, and the cameras are facing me. Are we? So you guys don't know who I'm pointing at. And he was preaching. Ha, pastors, let's try and borrow small shame. Even if you don't have, when you are going out, just stop by your friends and say, but you get extra shame. Let me put it in my pocket. Because this guy said things that are so shameful, he did not even know how shameful they were. He was talking about the power of your seed. The power of your seed. That one day he was in church, the chairman of a big political party in Nigeria, a big one, came to him and said, look, there's a state election of these off-cycle elections. It's holding. Pastor, I want you to pray that my candidate will win. By the way, if you're in Abuja, there are plenty. If you're a pastor that will do it, they will come. Those guys like to settle every corner. They will go to a shrine at night, forget the fact that they gave you money. They are still going to go to the shrine. Because they don't want your God to be walking now. And then the God that walks to the shrine will go against them. Then when they see one imam, they give him something. Please go to the mosque and cover that aspect. And then to the unknown God, they sacrifice something. That's the way they are. This man came to the pastor and said, there's an off-cycle election. My party needs to win. I wanted to pray that we'll win. That one said, I'm a man of God. I don't take sides. You know the way I am. He's like me too. He claimed to be. I don't take sides though. I just leave the will of God. Let's pray that it be well with you and your candidates, but I cannot pray that he will win. Then the guy dipped his hand in his pocket and brought out, was it $20,000? Yes. And he gave the man of God an envelope. The guy opened the $20,000. He said, I grabbed him by the hand and I said, follow me to the altar. Said the power of the seed. See why I said that people should borrow small shame even if they didn't have. As you are going to say, please, oh, damn it, Chizuru, I guess small shame remain because people are saying I get plenty. The one you are not using today, let me use it to go and preach. The guy didn't know how shameful that was. That is, your precepts change depending on the size of the envelope. That was the spirit of Balaam. It has entered the church, we have to cast it out. Yeah. Now, that he did it is not what pained me. Is that he came to what? Brag. Not only did he do it, he came to brag. Excuse me. You came to brag on such a bad thing. He was trying to teach people the power of their seed. That was what was wrong with Balaam. Balaam came back to God and said, did you see that offering? Are you still saying I shouldn't pray or you didn't see the offering? Oh, God said, pray now. Pray that his candidate will win. Exactly what happened to Balaam. So God said, you can go. What am I trying to emphasize again? Hearing God is not where the key is. You can supposedly hear God and still be wrong. You can hear him and not hear him fully. He can say, go, and you run. And what he was saying is, go downstairs. But he didn't wait to hear everything. What he wanted to do was to go to Onitsha. So you're already in Onitsha. Why? Listen. Because the precept in your heart is more powerful than what you hear. That's where I'm going. So when I say, don't bother to practice, I know what I'm saying. Don't bother. Don't put yourself under unnecessary burden for so-called spirituality. People teach you, let me tell you how to hear God. Let me teach you my own. Don't bother. And please, don't be swayed by testimonies. I heard God and this happened. If you didn't hear him, do you know what would have happened? Look, I told the story in my book. Somebody said that, did you hear from God? Did God speak to you before you concerning the wife you married? I said, he did. So how did he say it? I said, the priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. Before that, he didn't say anything. I said, no. I saw the girl and I liked her. Pastor Banky, that is all. Well, that's fundamentally all, yes. That was all that happened. Look, that's all that happened. I stood, people were talking to me, I finished preaching. I preached for some time, I taught the Bible class, I finished preaching halfway, and our whole guest minister arrived, so I left the pulpit for him. At the end of the day, you know, the way we hang around and talk. And I still remember one young lady that was standing, behind there. I was talking to many people. How are you doing? How Lagos? Guys, I deal. Just the talk. And the lady was just standing. So when the number of people I was talking to released, she now stepped up. Said, please, sir, I have some questions I want to ask you. She had three or four of them. The first one she asked, I can't remember the question now. But why do I need to remember the question? I mean, like, can't remember. It's not important. It's not that guy. I'm the answer to the question. Thank you. Thank you. That was his question after many years. 25 years, I'll still be remembering something. Now leave that in. She asked a question, but I remember that was going to take a long time to explain, and I was kind of a bit tired, of course. I had taught two sessions that morning. So I said, Ash. So I said, I have the answer, but time, and I'm a bit tired now. She said, okay. So he asked me the next one. I answered that one. Then he asked me the third one. Those were short, to the point answer, and I answered the third one. And then I looked, and I remember very well, and I said to myself, fine girl. That's all. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit that said it. It was not me. I was in the Spirit. It wasn't me. I just said, fine girl. That's all I said. And I said, hey, that first question, can we answer it later? that first, we must answer it. Yeah. Oh boy, we are still answering it. No, to be honest with you, that's all that happened. That's how I was introduced to my wife. I joked with her about that an angel brought her and introduced the two of us. She said, he didn't see anybody. I said, don't worry. Just believe me. Now, that's how it began. Now, but the question is this. Is she the first person I've seen in my life and I was physically attracted to? The answer is no. It's only an interesting story now because of where we are today. So let me not make it look too spiritual. Because if I didn't, I say, how are you doing? He said, I'm fine. One of my friends said, what are you people doing here? You know, I will not talk to her again. I don't know if I get my point. You people are Christians. What does it mean, Seth? So I thought you were fine. I saw Jezebel too, fine. I'm going my own. Do you follow my point? Yeah, so let's remember. Those are the things. The Bible says, charm is deceitful. Beauty is what? Vain. So if you perceive something as beautiful, it's vain. That perception has no meaning. So the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. But I told that story to let you know that I didn't hear any voice. I didn't tell God. In fact, to be honest with you, I told the story many times. After that, I decided that it was just, young single man's eye roving carelessly. There was nothing. It was my sister IJ that made it into something. Just made the own decision. I said, Pastor Banky, how far now? What's going on? I said, my sister Adeo. I said, what do you mean? All these are our fine sisters. You are saying that, the Lord is not talking to you about them. I said, I beg, let's face the kingdom. I was just joking like that. And I said, actually, I met one of your sisters. Nice looking lady. Say, who? I mentioned her name. She just ran. She ran off with the vision. I said, IJ, come. I was just joking. He said, don't worry. I said, it was a joke. Oga, don't worry. Don't worry. We'll handle the rest of the joke. Now, it sounds funny, but that's exactly what happened. I wished I didn't talk. I just wish this young woman would leave me alone. She didn't, too. One day she called me at night. Hey, Pastor Frankie! And they called me that for a long time. I said, if I was sleeping, I remember my friend came to wake me up. He said, look, you have a phone call. So I had to go to, there's a way our apartments were. So I had to go and pick the phone. I was really sleepy. I was sleeping. It was around 11:30. I slept. So I just said, I picked the phone. Hello? Hey, Pastor Frankie, it's me, IJ. I said, oh. He said, hey, I just want you to know that her birthday is next week. I said, whose birthday? Honestly, I was like, whose birthday? He said, sister, for me now. Okay, thank you. No, I didn't want to tell her, who sent you a message? That kind of attitude. I'm like, okay, thank you. So I hung the phone. Happy days next week, so? Then I now prayed. And my spirit said, my son, alright. Let no birthday pass you by. Of course, I didn't hear anything like that. I just said that, let me just take a trip. Let me just see what is going on. You know what I found out later? IJ was surprised to see me. That's one part of the story I never told the guy. So I went to look for IJ. How far? I said, what are you doing around? She asked me. So I'm looking at her like, you were the one that told me there's a birthday party. I never even told that part of it. She was surprised to see me. To let you know that that's how the Spirit moves, man. Did the Lord speak to you specially? In all honesty, no. But you know they call precepts. There's what they call be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That was taken care of. A woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. That was taken care of. He said, give offense neither to Jews or to Gentiles, but to the church of God. What does that mean? There are three ethnic divisions of human beings. You're either a Jew, a Gentile, or a church of God. Can I use that expression? That is, you're talking about tribe, race, where are you from, where are you not from? We are all from the same church of God. Those were taken care of. Now, I told you before, one day one sister asked me, another sister, and said, two ladies, I'll tell you now, the junior one, said, hey, so Banky, what kind of thing are you looking for in a wife? And I said to her, in fact, one brother said, when she heard me tell that story, that's how she married the wife he married to today. So I said to her, I said, listen, there are three things. Now, I hope I can remember the three now. They're inside my book. Should I say yes? I said, one, the woman must love the word of God. I'm not saying must be a Christian. That one is already settled. I don't know. It's like telling me that I must be a human being. Was I going to marry a monkey? Do you get my point? For me, that she must be a Christian is not to be discussed. That is so taken for granted. It's not worthy of making into a conversation. Yes. So, the first one, as far as I was concerned, that must not just be a Christian, must be one committed to the word of God, must be a real disciple. And I said it must be shown in her drive and desire to learn the scriptures. Number two, I can't remember for sure now, it's been a while, I think it's time, but I remember the third one. I said the person must believe that I can teach and I can teach her. Because I've met women that know more than me. They are not sinful. Though. They are not. Maybe their name is Priscilla. And I'm Apollos. You understand? So Priscilla can teach Apollos, but cannot marry Apollos. Go and marry Aquila. Thank you. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't. You're not a bad person. But my name is Apollos. Go and look for Aquila. Do you get my point? You can teach me, God bless you, but you can't beat my wife. Nothing wrong with it, though. Just for me. Okay? Because, see, I did teach. I used to teach to stay alive. So, I have to be the talker in the house. I cannot be the listener. Everybody get assignment. Do you follow my point? So, like I said, it's not evil. It's just my own thing. And I said, the woman must believe I can teach her. That was the third thing. I can't remember now for the second thing I said. Since I have that book, anyway. Now, why am I telling the story again? The lady said, I asked you this question 2 years ago. These were the exact things you said. Then I couldn't remember the former conversation. She said, I asked you this 2 years before now. These were the exact things you said. And that was what mattered. And I said, at the end of the day, and I said, nothing else mattered. If I remember, I said, she can be tall or short, fat or slim, dark or fair. I said, it makes no difference. That was what I said, that one brother went to marry the person that was beside him. Yeah, he quoted it for me later. That you said, he said, he looked and said, this, that is, he said that whether she's fat or slim is irrelevant. Now this girl I go marry. Yeah. Now I'm talking about precepts. So the lady said, I said, no, these are the things. And really, I now said, remember I said there are two ladies now, not my sister AJ. So that I didn't mention the name of this one, even though I remember their names. The second was a senior person. And we had a conversation along that line also. And she asked me something. I said to her, look, I'm not worried that I will never marry the wrong woman, I'm certain. She said, why? I said, I've given the Lord the authority, the right to do whatever he has to do to make sure it doesn't happen. I said, so I say I'm confident. I don't have a problem with that. Not as if I know, I will know. No. I said, God will ensure I don't. I actually said, true, that if he has to break my leg, he should go ahead. Yeah, I used those words. Now, I'm talking about precepts. Some people want to go and pray. You pray. Somebody said, as I was walking on the road, I saw a woman alight coming down from the clouds. God bless you if you saw it. The only thing I just want to beg you, if you ever hear that kind of testimony, and you raise up your head to the clouds, you will see Jezebel. See, we're still talking about this in my brethren a few days ago. When you turn the serpent of bronze to a god, God breaks it. Somebody said he saw his wife alighting from the clouds. You are not, every time he wants to rain, you have gone outside to raise your head. After a while, look, they could just say, now find one Jezebel, drop him from the cloud. Your eye will see wind. The testimony should let you know God speaks through the clouds. It doesn't allow you to raise your head to the clouds. Because your own may come from the fruit of hibiscus. Zobo. Do you get my point? There was one lady I know. Okay, Muti is not around. I've mentioned. You know how he met the wife? How she met her husband? Somebody had told the man something. You know, she went to the family, had the family function, and they have a lot of girls in the house, you understand? So they came, they sat down, and the lady was walking by serving, and she got to him and tripped on his foot and fell with the things in her hand. And he got up, rushed to help her gather the things and straighten her up. And he looked in her eyes. Leke soba yadaza. Izuzu valiza. I know the person. This one I'm telling is not story. I know the person. The most interesting one of all stories I've heard in my life. Is the after church. They say, oh, after church service, please, Sister Angela just delivered. We are going home to go and visit them. Now this guy carry you. Go house, go meet person, go deliver. And that lady came there to visit the person, go deliver. Now my guy see the lady. 3 months later, they were married. Did you hear what I said? From that Sunday afternoon, 3 months later, they had done traditional marriage and done church wedding, white. Now, did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
Are you not amazed?
Yes, sir.
3 months later, they were married. And they are still married. That one, it was a shock to everybody. The guy's younger brother, I knew the guy himself, but not too much. But his younger brother were living in the same apartment when he told me the story. The guy just decided that he wants to marry this girl. And if he's going to marry her, why is he wasting time? That's it. And he told the girl, why are we wasting? There's no need. Make a long story short. 3 months after they saw each other for the first time, they had done everything necessary. They didn't rush any part. They did the full traditional marriage and did the full church wedding. At least that one, they saw each other. What about my friend in this town that never saw the girl? Didn't sight her one day until they had married her for him and posted her to him. I'm not exaggerating. He never saw her. And this was before the days of social media and all of that. The only thing he saw of her, they sent him a picture. Apparently, she's not one of those people that used to take pictures. You know, this is everybody take photo. Those days, this thing wasn't there. Because if you take picture, you have to go and develop it. Kodak and Fujifilm. Remember those days? So she was not one of those people. So the only picture he had was a picture he had in it. So he sent to him. And she was in a group and was not facing the camera. He told me that there's only one question he asked. I won't mention it openly because it's very carnal. He asked one question. He said, that God had to grant him that one. God just said, okay. This is the point. He had to trust his friend's judgment. Yeah. This is not 20. It's not 19th century. It's not 18th century. It's not 16th century. This is 21st century. Somebody I know very well. But of course, let me just add something to it. These people are not being irrational. This guy is a man of God. He's a preacher. This is what I'm talking about. He went and prayed. Ah, of course. So after a while, the lady said, I beg. She wasn't so sure she wanted to marry again. And then the Lord came to her by night and said, you don't want to marry my son. Why? I'm not kidding. Just, I think it was a dream or something. The Lord said, so, you don't want to marry my son. What is the problem? I'm telling you. So, why are we talking about marriage now? Give another seminar. Media. I'm just trying to emphasize, listen, the precepts are more important than the visions. That's what I'm saying. I just told my story. The woman must fear the Lord, must love the word of God, and this is a personal thing. Must believe that, okay, actually, there is a combination thing I said. She must believe that I'm called to teach and that I can teach her. Shortly after we married, one day I asked my wife, who's been the greatest blessing in your life when it comes to teaching with the word of God? She reasoned. She said, I think it has been you. I was shocked. I expected to hear, you know, the kind of names we drop those days. Kennedy Hagin, Freddie Casey Price, you know, David Oyedepo, T.D. Jakes, all those names. She said, I think it has been you. I'm like, what? That's why I wrote in the book. So I called her My Dream Embodied in Flesh. Yeah, because it surprised me. That day, I remember, I was surprised. You know, I didn't expect it. Anyway, you don't blame her. If I marry you, you go, that is. Jesus Christ. Those days, she even now thinks, I have congregation, you know, in quotes, online, physical. I didn't have anybody. This guy, where I don't catch, you go hear the gospel. I used to teach morning, after. I can wake at midnight. Come and hear something. Do you know that Paul went to Antioch? Do you know the reason why? He can't look like, hey. So I can't sleep because Paul went somewhere now. It was in season. In fact, it was mostly out of season. Now, in case you don't, it was not my fault. It was fire shot up in my bones. That's it. And she was the first place where I could drop that fire. If I ask my wife now, she would say, just close the ministry so I can go back to hearing everything all by myself. One day she told me that, this thing you preached today, you've not taught me. I said, don't be angry. Me too, I'm hearing it for the first time. But it's not like those days where once I'm hearing something, you are the one that will hear it first. Now there are so many people, you know, look at Blaze, they're smiling, collects all the things before my wife gets some of them. But those days, there was no Blaze in my life. The Lord is good. So what's the point I'm making? Precepts, they are more important than visions, than special revelations, than dreams. Instead of going out to say, how will I hear God? No, leave that. Now, please, am I saying God doesn't speak to people? I should quickly add, it is his initiative, not yours. Did you hear what I said? It is the Lord's initiative. You can't say he must speak. There's nothing like that. He's the one that decides he wants to speak and how. Some people say that you quieten your spirit and you listen inside. Because I'm not talking through there. I'm talking to the sound of many waters. Don't know what the Bible says about the voice of the Lord? Yes. What did it say about the trees in Lebanon and the voice of the Lord? It breaks the cedars in Lebanon. What does it mean? I'll tell you. It's lightning strike. That is, there are times God will speak. He shoots like a lightning. He's a cedar in Lebanon. Breaks the tree. The tree falls down. And it's God that just spoke. And we know in the scriptures, when he said, this is my beloved son. Some heard it. The other said what? He thundered. So Jeremiah said, when he thunders, the earth quakes. He speaks in earthquake. He speaks different ways. but he also speaks in the still small voice. But we can't say that's the only way he speaks. People say that that's where God. No. There's nothing like that. He shouts loud. And listen to this. Because he loves you, he knows the one you can hear. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He will not choose the one you can't hear. No. He will not choose the one you can't hear. Sometimes people make it look as if God is trying to hide. He's not trying to. What he's concerned about is that heart. Is this heart really seeking to know? And as I talk about precepts, how does he know the heart that's seeking to know? The one I've told everybody, is he obeying it? Is she obeying the one I've told everybody before you start looking for special communication? What have I tried to emphasize? Now, I'm going to take this till next week, so I'll just continue from this particular point, okay? Just because of time, I'm stopping here. Not because I feel like I finished saying everything, no. What are we supposed to do therefore if we want to hear God clearly? Obey the precepts. What I really want to bring out, let me just give a small summary of it, and next time we'll go into it. There are two scriptures. Okay, all right. I read one earlier. There are two scriptures I want to just refer to quickly. Now, when I say obey the precepts, what I just want to explain about it quickly before I close is the fact that they are not grievous. Time, we'll read it next time. But if you go and read them, 1 John chapter 5, it says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That if you love God, you keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. I like that rendering in my Bible. So they are not burdensome. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. Then Moses said, "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Now, what I'm trying to emphasize, when I say obey the precepts, they are not hard, though. They are not hard. The precepts that protect you, they are very simple. I'll talk about them next time, but they are simple things like love your neighbor as yourself. They're as simple as prefer one another in love. Remember that video I shared with you, Bishop? That employer did a small video. He said he employed somebody on, interviewed somebody on like maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, and told the person start work on Monday. So Monday, the fellow called him early in the morning, said, "Sorry, I'm supposed to start by 9, but please, can I come by 11? I have an appointment, I forgot to tell you about it." So he said, "No problem." The guy was quite good for the work. The 11 o'clock, the guy called again. I said, "Oh, I should have told you. The appointment I was referring to is another job interview. And I'm sorry, they gave you gave me a better deal. So I'm so sorry. You understand now? You should understand. I have to go with the better deal." And the man said, "I understand. But please, before you hang up, listen to this. I interviewed you." I'm expanding the things he said now. "I interviewed you on Tuesday, right? How will you feel if I continue to interview people the rest of the week? Then you report for work on Monday by 9. And I say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I got a guy better than you, cheaper than you last week. He's reporting today by 12. How will you feel?" Just bear it in mind when they say are doing things like this. Just by the way, God marks those things down. "Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you." Those are the precepts we are talking about. We're not talking about difficult things. He said, "What has the Lord required of you?" It's not the hard thing. He said, "His commandments are not burdensome." These are the things we are saying. Just simple things like caring for other people's feelings. I'm sorry to say, where you park your car. But these people doesn't have them giving long instruction. You saw the sign, no parking. You saw somebody's entrance. And you parked there. And you were not even careful enough to leave your phone number. Which is what we do these days. Another precept, we'll go over it again. Just the idea of loving to do what is right. That's very important. Is this right or is it wrong? If it's wrong, don't do it. See, that's where God hides. When he says righteousness delivers from death, that's what we're talking about. Honoring elders. Everybody's rushing for a seat. You might need to rush, you sit down. and an elderly person, somebody much older than you, walks in and is scanning the place looking for where to sit, you don't need the Holy Spirit to tell you, get up, offer him your seat. Those simple things we are talking about. Honoring your word. Please give me this money, I'll give you back in 1 week. After 1 week, you don't quench your phone. Honoring your word. See, okay, like I said, we'll talk about it again next time. Christians, just enjoy what is good. Stop. This your, you know, my spirit was not saying to me, my spirit, I'm tired of it. One lady called my wife one time. Said, I was praying this morning, I need to pay my children's school fees. So my spirit, the Holy Spirit said, I should call you. My wife said, well, sorry, I'm sorry I can't help you, but I can give you something this morning. I said, no, I know what I heard from the spirit. That's your problem. I said, why are we like this? All you needed to do, say, my sister, you know you are my friend. I know I've offended you before, but you are forgiving me, haven't you? See, right now, these your children need to go to school. And you know that their father is not a normal human being. Because the father was not a normal human being. Please, what can you do to help me? And then she will offer one, say, okay, how much is the money? And you number all the thousands that it is. And say, okay, of that plenty thousand, I can't do everything. Here is what I can do. That is what you do when your spirit told you. Not come and stand at him. If you don't give me, you are disobeying God. That's what you have said. That's what you have said. If you don't give me, you are disobeying God. And you don't know that, me, I'm not afraid. Not of disobeying God, but of spiritual people like you. Because I know that your voice is not the voice of God. Why was she talking like that? It is simple. You know of all the friends you have, this was one person you have found reliable, dependable. So your spirit said, call her. It's not God. It's your spirit. Give me a high five. Your spirit gets sense. The spirit don't scope. It don't scan. So for all the people that call themselves my friend, which one will do something for me? And I say, my spirit. I'm sorry, I don't like people who go around harassing people with their spirits. Just do what is right. Do what is right. You're a businessman, you promise somebody you'll deliver his goods on Monday. Please deliver on Monday. Pastor Bank, what if it's beyond my powers that I have to fail? Then Sunday night, call him. And the Bible says, deliver your soul. Please, sir, I know I promised tomorrow. But the way things are, I'm beginning to doubt whether I'll be able to meet up. But I will work hard. But please, and the person now saying things like, and I'm supposed to travel tomorrow, and I'm supposed to carry those things when I'm traveling. Where are you going? I'm going to Abuja. Can I send them to you? It's not my fault now. It's not my fault, though. It's not my fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. You learn to accept your responsibility. You are the one that said you will deliver it on Monday. And this guy has bought an international flight ticket for Wednesday, believing that he's going to park on Monday night. And you say it's not your fault. That's what I mean by no defense in precepts. All this one you are going to hear. See, let me be honest with you. The time you spend doing, carry your Bible and cram it. The one you have crammed that time will speak more to you than the blah, 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 blah. See, in case you don't know, I know many people don't like when I say it. See, when Christians speak in tongues these days, I've done statistical analysis. 75% minimum is meaningless. 75. Paul talked about tongues of men and tongues of angels, but also talked about the clanging cymbal. Empty drums. Just noise. People who cannot tell you what God is saying, what is right to do under certain circumstances, they are telling what the Holy Spirit is saying. I like what the Bishop Oedipo said. He said, God does not speak to indisciplined people. Yes. Yeah, that's how he said it. He said, spirituality is scripturality. God does not talk to indisciplined people. He said, what is spirituality? It is walking according to the dictates of Scripture. Let me stop it here for time's sake. I just give you a lot of thanks. I'll continue next time. The defense in precepts. Let's say, Lord, we thank you for speaking your word to me again today. Say, Lord, I thank you. For speaking your word to me again, Lord, I say thank you. Let's just take a minute and respond in prayer to the things that we have taught today, things that we have learned. Let's just take a minute and respond in prayer. All right, it's been a beautiful day. If you believe that, say amen to that.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, I declare your blessing upon your children. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
The Lord keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord will be gracious unto you.
Amen.
He will lift up his countenance upon you.
Amen.
And he will give you peace.
Amen.
It will be well with you at home.
Amen.
It will be well with you when you travel.
Amen.
When you return, it will be well with you.
Amen.
See, because of you, God will destroy every deed of darkness around you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, all the people who have risen against the innocent in this land, their arrows will enter their own hearts.
Amen.
But you will dwell in safety.
Amen.
You will tabernacle in a land of green and new wine.
Amen.
And the heavens over you will drop down dew.
Amen.
You are blessed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every affliction in your life is oppression. And you have been freed by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
So I speak to that ailment. Go in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I speak to that infirmity. Dissolve in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every cell, whether cancer cell, whatever you are called, that is abnormal and growing in the life, in the body of this child of God. Now I speak to you by the authority of the blood of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Child of God, you be healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Have full restoration. Have full restoration.
Amen.
Have full restoration.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because we know you are going to put a big smile on someone's face.
Amen.
See, there are times, you know, you have given up on something. It appears like, maybe you just don't think about it anymore. Then you will hear the voice of the Lord. And it will bring a great miracle into your life.
Amen.
You know, Abraham said, what do you give me since that I go childless? God said, who said that? God came with a new word. That word is coming into your life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Like one brother said to me, he said, then Jesus surprised me. You receive your surprise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Let's share the grace quickly. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Quickly bless the people beside you. Two. The second one, this is your season.
This is your season of demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in the name of Jesus.
One for yourself, this is my season.
This is my
season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God
in the name of Jesus Christ.
All right, share our brethren. God bless you.